The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
John Tracy was with me earlier. We talked about Kate O'Connor. We talked about Cian McPhillis. We talked about so much more besides. And if you want to listen back to John's reflections on all of those great performances, you can do so. It's up as a podcast. It's available on the News Talk app. But with me now is Paul McDermott. Paul is the Sport Ireland Director of High Performance. Paul, you're very, very welcome to the show. I'm sure, much like John, you enjoyed the scenes from Tokyo.
Well, Tokyo was amazing. It was really thrilling. It's great to see it, and it's great to be in Ireland and listening to people and how it connects with people and the excitement it creates and the buzz. And, you know, that's what we're in the business for. We want to bring young people, show their sporting talents and excite the community. You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I guess athletics is one of those sports that I wouldn't say it entirely disappears off people's radar, but it certainly fades. And, you know, there's an Olympic Games comes around every 4 years and everybody tunes in and is conscious of what is happening, and track and field is part of that. But when you find yourself winning medals or threatening to win medals, or you've got athletes getting into finals, you've got a team that people are genuinely excited about the prospect of them doing well. That has a ripple effect across society, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. I mean, and that's why we want to do it. I mean, we have a couple of motivations for, you know, working in high-performance sport. One is we want to honour the potential of athletes. We have a sincere belief that young Irish athletes are as good as anybody in the world, and with the right opportunities, they can succeed at global level, and athletics is a global sport where all medals are hard to win and worth celebrating. But also then what we want to do is cascade the benefits of that, put them in front of the Irish public and let them enjoy that and inspire them. I was down yesterday not only watching the athletics over the weekend, but I live here in Drumcondren up at the Griffith Avenue Mile, and to see thousands of people of all ages running up Griffith Avenue for the day was brilliant. And it's all part of the same story that athletics and other sports, swimming, cycling, are really buzzing at the moment. And on the back of this, and high performance is part of that story. It's an important part of it, but not the only part of it. And it does cascade into the wider community and get people involved in sport and following sport.
Yeah, so explain to me then your vision of how high performance connects to participation, broader kind of community participation in sport.
Yeah, so what we'd say is it is a kind of a high tariff activity. Trying to connect high performance sport to community sport is not easy because people think of it as a spectrum, but you can go in. So the critical piece here is working with governing bodies, Athletics Ireland, Swim Ireland, you know, Tennis Ireland at the Davis Cup on the campus last week, Cricket Ireland were hosting England in Malahide the last few days. But what you want to do is that the benefits that accrue from hosting, you know, investing in these programs, it brings more people into the sport, either to participate or to view or to create a pathway for them to go on a journey of participation, to coach or whatever, right? It has to be, and you have to go through the governing body, because that's how the sport is in a complete sense. We do invest in high performance sport. It is important to give athletes their opportunity, but they are connected to a governing body and an environment there whereby these governing bodies have other responsibilities, national competitions, juvenile competitions, school competitions throughout the country. And one of the most pleasing things about the last few weeks, Kieran, has been that I was at the boxing, the World Boxing Championships in Liverpool there last week, and we had a boxer from Roscommon, Aoife, winning the gold medal. Westmeath, Offaly, Longford, Louth, all of these things. You know, this is around the country. This is everybody having an opportunity in different sports. And you make a valid point. Not everybody sees these in their day-to-day on television or on the radio or in newspapers, but they're still going ahead and they still connect with a very wide community of people. Right. And if you like your boxing, you know what was happening in Liverpool. If you're involved in sailing, you know that there was medals won over the weekend in the global Grand Prix series. Likewise, we've Paris swimming, we've Russian at the moment, and the eventing won a European silver medal yesterday. So there's a lot of things happening in high performance sport on the back of the good work of the governing bodies, backed by ourselves and our investment in the Sport Ireland Institute. Mm. But it feeds into a governing body which has a complete range of activities across their sport.
But what's the value for money prospect when it comes to investing in high performance sport?
Well, I think the first thing we had to do, the first jump we had to do was convince people that we could actually do it and win medals, right? We did have a bit of a barrier to that. I think we had to convince people that in the early 2000s, when we were first established, that Ireland could be competitive in swimming and athletics and cycling, because that's hard, because it is, these are global sports. And maybe what happened in the past was we produced individuals, exceptional individuals, and they may have gone to, you know, the NCAA in the States, or found some other way, go to professional cycling teams, you know, found a different way to succeed. So first of all, when you convince people that you can bring Irish people through an Irish system, right? When I mean it's the broadest, doesn't matter where they come from, but it's an Irish system for Irish governing bodies wearing a green vest. But then once you do that, we're investing 27 million euro this year in high performance sport. It's about 100 million euro over the 4 years of an Olympic Paralympic cycle. But within that, the return on, say, Paris last year, the return on Tokyo, the return on, you know, the European Championships for athletics last year, and across, as I say, across all of these sports, what's that doing? That's generating a real buzz, a real excitement around people taking part in sport. These governing bodies becoming stronger organisations and delivering more services for more people. So there is a return on investment there, right? But, you know, it's hard because you have to keep, it's global competition, and you have to keep winning or at least being competitive. So you have to be sharp all the time and, you know, building for the future. But I think, certainly in Sport Ireland, we have a very strong view that the amount of money we're investing, we are generating a return for the amount of excitement that we're bringing to the country.
You know? And then where we find ourselves then riding something of a wave, or the crest of a wave, when it comes to track and field or athletics in particular, you know, with great success at the Europeans last year, and then the Olympics went relatively well. It went very well, let's be honest about it. And then into this year, we had kind of Sarah Healy was so brilliant over the course of the Diamond League and others, and we had great excitement going into Tokyo, and then Kate O'Connor bringing home that silver medal, which is such a rarity. And I mean, we really have to underline that for people. It is such a rarity for Ireland to bring home a medal from a World Athletics Championships, that it's a phenomenal, phenomenal success. How then, from a high performance point of view, do you and your colleagues look at that and think, you know, is there something to be taken advantage of there, or, you know, is this really the manifestation of something you've already done further back along the line?
Well, look, what we have done, we have a plan, right? So that's the first thing. And we went to government a few years ago. We were investing about 12, say 13 million a year. We went to the government and said, look, we really need to ramp up the investment with the governing bodies, and, you know, to honour the talent of these athletes and their coaches. And the money has increased over the last 4 or 5 years. Now, we're not the ceiling of that investment, but we are beginning to show that we have, you know, changed gears, and we are operating at a higher level across the system. Particularly in athletics, it is a very, very difficult. It's a global sport, and we used to, you know, be very focused on, you know, middle distance running, and then the race walkers, who were brilliant. In fact, Olive Lochnan is the chair of our high performance committee, and made an amazing contribution to all of this over the last few years in that role. But what we're trying to do then is trying to find out, focus on, you know, obviously the carding, funding the athletes, but supporting their coaches, the services out of the Sport Ireland Institute, you know, a substantial investment in the Athletics Ireland programme. So, And we do look at other partners. It's good that Athletics Ireland have a very strong sponsor. We look to universities who, you know, offer sponsorships to young aspiring athletes. So it's quite a complex system out there. We're not looking for just a one-off athlete emerging and then trying to build a system around that, which it was a bit like that in the
years.
There is a system there that if a talented athlete emerges, as we've seen Cian McPhillips, Kate herself, Sarah, Sophie, Rashida Adelike, they all came through European under-20s, European under-23s. They have emerged through a pipeline, and we're not saying it's perfect by any means. We've a lot of work to do on the pathways, on the coaching, but we are beginning to see the fruits of a number of years of investment, and hopefully long may continue if the athletes are there. At the moment, the athletes are there, so we just want to put them at the centre, by the way. They're the talented ones. We're just doing a job. So without the athletes, you can't do any of that. But what we're saying is, if we have a good system in place and the talent emerges, I think we're ready to support that talent.
So, and you described the pipeline as being imperfect. What are the imperfections in your mind?
Well, I think we just have to work with every club and school and to help them make sure that they know what talent looks like, and they know, you know, where the athlete is to go. If they're in a particular sport, maybe they could diversify into a different sport, or that they continue to do a variety of sports until they're 15 or 16. They connect with a sport that suits them. They're given the opportunity. Now, I think generally talent is quite obvious, really, but like you have to make sure the young person or the person is in the right discipline, meets a good coach early on, and is in an environment where they can flourish. It's like, obviously, it's better than it was because we're beginning to see it across the sports. But you know, you always feel that there's more we can be, more can be done for everybody, right? And if we found this additional talent in the last few years, maybe there's more out there. But we're not making promises. Like, it does rely on exceptional talent, but we are aware that in schools and in athletics clubs around the country, they're doing exceptional work, right? They're bringing in loads and loads of kids and younger people into the disciplines, and long may that
they're actually, sorry to cut across it, they're bringing in so many that a lot of them operate waiting lists. And I just wonder,
how much
an issue that is for Sport Ireland in terms of the pipeline. You know what I mean? If there's a young Rashida Adelecki and she's going down to her local club and they say, we actually are full and we don't have the capacity, there's only one track in the town, the town has doubled in size since it was built 20 years ago, we've nowhere for you to go.
Look, I hear you. Like, I hear this back from every sport. I was meeting CEOs of different sports, high performance sports, this morning. And look, it's good news in the sense that they're full, right? There are waiting lists in hockey, badminton, not just athletics and swimming, right? That's, that is something that can't be fixed, between now and Christmas. That needs a plan. That needs investment, local authorities working with government and ourselves and all of that. And I accept that. I think that's a very valid observation, that we're now at a situation whereby sport is extremely popular. People want to play sport and they want to play a diversity of sports. And that, look, getting people to play sport is the win. That's the medal. I mean, the high performance is part of that. It's part of that story. But the things are connected. We're not looking at medals in isolation and we're not looking at participation in isolation. We're looking at all of these things together, right? To create a nation where people can play and engage in the sport at the level of their choice. And if people are talented, do we have a system that will honour that talent, be it for an athlete or a coach? And that's what we're aspiring to. And we're not sitting on our laurels. The weekend was great, in athletics in particular, but in other sports. But we do want to continue on this project and continue to invest and continue to work with the governing bodies.
Well, listen, on some level, great problems to have and exciting times ahead. Great. Paul, thanks a million for chatting to us.
Lovely talking to you, Kieran. Thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.